This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3572 for Tuesday, the 12th of April, 2022. Today's show is entitled, More About Noon. It is hosted by JWP and is about 19 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, who, what, when, and were of Noon.
Good day, everyone. I wanted to continue with some more information about NVMe SSDs, everything you might want to know about the storage, which is insanely fast. For those of you that don't know, there's a new wave of memory-based storage, and it blows the older generations away. So, the good news is that you can pretty cheaply get it in your PC. It looks pretty much like the normal M2 thing that you've normally already had. Okay, so NVMe is no longer a nice to have storage technology. If you're shopping for a new PC, it's a feature that you should actively seek out. Moreover, if your PC is of a fairly vintage variety, you should upgrade to VME, and here's why. VME is a communication standard developed for SSDs by a consortium of vendors including Intel, Samsung, SanDisk, Dell, and Seagate. It operates across the PCI bus, hence the express in the name, which allows drives to act more like fast memory than they are, rather than hard disk they imitate. The bottom line is NVMe is fast, really fast, like never have to wait again for your computer fast. And removing, what it does is removes storage as a bottleneck. Not to belittle the efforts of the CPU and GPU vendors over the last decade, but the reason the latest top end PCs seem so much faster is because there's been a quantum leap in storage performance provided by SSDs, first with SATA and now over NVMe. The storage bottleneck was the last bottleneck for the real and perceived performance, but now it's widely widespread with a vengeance. If you had bought a PC, say a MacBook Pro in the last 2 years, you may have noticed that you can hardly wait at all anymore for mundane operations. Programs pop open, files load, save in an instant, and the machine boots and shuts down in just a few seconds. That's because NVMe SSD inside the MacBook Pro reads and writes the data literally four times faster than SATA SSDs found in previous generations. Not only that, but it locates them 10 times as fast on the seek. That's on top of a 4 to 5-fold improvement in throughput and a 10-fold improvement in seek times that was already provided by normal SATA SSDs compared to old hard drives. The approximate performance ceiling for three mainstream storage technologies as they now stand. So if you have a SATA drive, you're looking at less than 500 MB per second. If you have an SSD, a normal SATA SSD, you're looking at right around 500 MBPS, so I think that's megabits per second. And if you have an NVMe SSD, you're looking at really close, 2800 or 2900, really close to 3000 MBPS. Not that you can need sustained throughput like this very often, but NVMe makes short work of transferring files of any size. An HDD is 200 MBS typically, and a SATA SSD is 550 MBS, while the NVMe is over 3 gigabytes per PS. Longer bars are better in all of this, okay? And the the seek time. So now let's talk about the seek time. So the seek time, the longer bars, the better. And so the seek time is 2 milliseconds. It's 2 milliseconds. And whereas the standard SSD is less than 0.2, and the hard drive is like a 0.000 or something. So the CPU development curve pales in comparison. The CPU and GPU development curve pales in comparison with storage over the last 10 years. HD is about 2 to 5 milliseconds seek, and a SATA SSD is 0.2 milliseconds. And the MVE is 0.02 milliseconds on your seek. So the shorter the bars, the better, but this is the overall average. Some drives in each category might do better and some will do worse, but still it's really amazing. Hard drives still offer tremendous bang for the buck in terms of capacities and are wonderful for less used data, but for your operating systems, programs, and oft-used data, you want an NVMe SSD in your system if your system supports it, or a SATA SSD if it can't. So SATA SSDs versus NVMe SSDs. Knowing well the ultimate performance of NAND-based SSDs, even when they first showed up, it was clear to the industry that new bus and protocol would eventually be needed. But as the first SSDs were relatively slow and bulky, it provided a far more convenient to use the existing SATA storage infrastructure. Though the SATA bus was developed to 16 gigabytes per second as of version 3.3, nearly all the commercial implementations remain 6 GPS, roughly 550 BPMS after communications overhead. Even the 3.3 version is far slower than what today's SSD technology is capable, especially in RAID configurations. So, for instance, the SanDisk Extreme Pro offers the exact same performance as the WD Western Digital Black NVMe, because it's the same drive. The drive uses 4 PCIe lanes for theoretical maximum throughput of well over 3 gigabytes per second. But as a replacement for the SATA bus, it was decided to leverage a much higher bandwidth technology. Thus, that was also already in place. The PCIe Express, or PCIe, is the underlying data transport layer for graphics and other add-in cards. As of generation 3X, it offers multiple lanes up to 16 for use with any one device in most PCs. That'll handle darn near a gigabyte per second each, or 985 Mbps. So the PCIe also is the foundation for the Thunderbolt innovation, which is starting to pay dividends with external graphics cards for gaming, as well as external NVMe storage, which is nearly as fast as the internal NVMe. Intel's refusal to let Thunderbolt die was a very good thing, as many users are starting to discover. Even though Intel has shared the technology with the USB form to make it easier to implement, it's still rarer than one might hope. Of course, for PCIe storage predates VME by quite a few years, but previous solutions were hamstrung by older data transfer protocols such as SATA, SCSI, and AHCI, which were all developed when hard drive was still at the apex of storage technology. Okay, so the old hard drive, he isn't at the apex anymore. And the NVMe removes their constraints by offering lower latency commands and multiple queues of up to 64K of them. The latter is particularly effective because data written to SSDs in a shotgun fashion scatter about the chips and blocks rather than continuously in circles as on a hard drive. The NVMe standard has continued to evolve to the persistent version of 1.31. And with the addition of such features such as the ability to use part of your computer system as cache, we've already seen that caching employed by super cheap Toshiba RC100, which foregoes onboard RAM cache, that most NVMe dice use, but still performs well enough to give your system the NVMe kick in the pants for everyday chores. So what do you need to get NVMe? It's obviously best if your system already supports NVMe and has an M.2 slot, that it's still possible to add an NVMe drive to any PC with the PCI slot via a $25 adapter card. All recent versions of the major operating system provide drivers regardless of the age of the system, and you will have a very fast drive on your hands. But there's a catch. To benefit fully from an NVMe SSD, you must be able to boot the operating system from it, and that requires BIOS support. I know. Most older mainstream BIOSes do not support booting from NVMe, and most likely never will. There's simply no benefit to the vendors to add it, and a very real downside is you're less likely to upgrade a system that's been updated with NVMe unless you play PC games or do something truly CPU intensive like editing 2160p or 4K or 8K video. Okay, and so like we said before, the M2 NVMe SSD, such as are relatively affordable and very fast, except for extremely large transfers. Things like the Samsung 970 Evo can live in an M2 PCIe slot or in a regular PCIe slot 4x greater by the means of a cheap adapter card. All the NVMe SSDs sold in the consumer space use an M2 form factor, though there are connectors below. Simply by having an M2 slot doesn't guarantee NVMe compatibility. M2 was designed to support USB 3.0, SATA, and PCIe, and most clearly M2 slots supported only SATA. But read your system or motherboard manufacturer's guide or check online. Note that mSATA slot, which was a precursor to the M2, looks very similar. So the M2 and the mSATA look really, really similar. So be sure that you're really having an M2. I know that there's a lot of old laptops out there. So there's no way to tell from looking at a slot whether it supports PCIe and NVMe, but you can tell the difference between a PCIe 2X and a PCIe 4X slot. The former is called a B keyed, and the key is in the rise, which marries in the gap of the contacts on the drive. It has 6 contacts separated from the rest, while the latter, the M key, has 5 contacts separated from the rest on the opposite side. There is no hard and fast rule, but many B slots were SATA only. So if you have a B/M keyed slot with both sets of contacts separated, most common today, you're golden. And these are also referred to as socket 2 and socket 3. If your socket lets you down, it's time for a $25 PCIe M2 adapter card. And one of the interesting ones is Plexter's MP9E, and others are available and readily mounted in the PCIe cards and ready to rock as products. So what can you as an end user can avoid are 2.5-inch NVMe drives. These require a U2 and need a SF8639 small form factor connector. A U2 connection features 4 Gen 3 PCI lanes, 2 SATA ports, plus side band channels, and both are 3.3 volt and 12 volt power, but it's only found in enterprise level storage systems. So that's gonna cost a lot of money. On the off chance you're using the rare Windows PC that supports Thunderbolt, if you have an ASUS motherboard, they do. You may be able to use the external Thunderbolt PCI enclosure to add MVE to your system. This works like a charm on a Thunderbolt Mac, and it's new enough to run High Sierra. Okay, so not all MVE drives are created equal. While just about any MVE should make your system feel quicker, they're all not alike, not even close. Where Samsung's 970 Pro will read over 3 gigabytes per second and write at 2.5 gigabytes per second, the Toshiba RC100 reads at 1.2 gigabytes per second and writes at 900 gigabytes per second. The difference can be even greater when the amount of data exceeds the cache on board. A number of factors affect performance, including the controller, amount of NAD on board, the number of PCI lanes, and the type of NAD. Here are some rules of thumb. 4X PCI MVE SSDs are faster than the 2X PCI types. The more NAND chips you have, the more paths and destinations the controller has to distribute and store the data at. Smaller capacity versions, especially 128 gigabyte and 256 gigabyte of the same model drive, are quite often slower than larger capacity flavors. And the type of NAD used matters. SLC, or single level cell, 1-bit is the fastest. MLC, multi-level cell, 2-bit is the next. TLC, triple level cell, 3-bit is slower, and QLC, 4-bit is the slowest. However, the formula is complicated, and by that fact, you can see you can treat any type of NAD except SLC as faster than the predecessor by simply writing fewer bits. Vendors do this with portions of the SSD for use as cache, which means TLC or QLC drive can be just as fast as an SLC drive until the cache is used up. Most controllers these days are very effective, but some, such as those used by Intel and SanDisk, are smarter about how they use the cache and can sustain write performance with larger data sets. Capacity matters, as nearly all NVMe SSDs use a portion of their NAD as secondary cache. Many use it as a primary cache as well. There has to be a NAD available for that purpose, i.e. if you buy a terabyte SSD and put 900 gigabyte on it, there's going to be a lot less NAD available for caching. The performance will suffer. In our experience, once you reach 80% of the full mark, you'll start to notice a difference. Keep in mind that when you decide to buy and what size you divide, a good rule of thumb is buy double the capacity you might expect to need, remembering that stuff tends to expand if the space is available. NVMe means no regrets for a long time. Okay, that's right. You won't have any regrets for a very long time. If all that hasn't driven home the point, let's say it again. NVMe is the storage technology you want for your current or your next PC. Unless you're a gamer or high-resolution video editor, it virtually guarantees that you won't need to replace your current system for quite a while, at least because of performance. Indeed, I felt zero compulsion to replace my 6 or 7-year-old system since it was upgraded with NVMe. Zero. So it really means that you don't need another PC. Okay? No, when you purchase, that's really it. So if you do the upgrade at home, it's absolutely fantastic. And you just add the card and hope that your BIOS supports booting over VME. And if it does, well then, there's no reason to really have a new PC unless you're really into gaming. All right. Hey, take care. Be safe. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is.
hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.